It is not hard to destroy a college.
Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to turn your garden into a smart garden on News Radio 830 WCCO. Smart Gardens, an hour of expert advice and answers to all of your lawn and gardening questions. You can call 989-9226 or text us at 81807. Now, here's Denny Law with this week's Smart Garden.
On this beautiful Saturday morning, welcoming your gardening questions either by phone or by text. And the person that's going to field those questions is our friend and master gardener, Teresa Rooney. Hi, Teresa.
Good morning, Denny.
Nice to see you
again. Good to see you. It's a beautiful day.
A little cool, mm-hmm. but still a beautiful morning. We hope to see some sunshine tomorrow.
Yes.
But you got kind of a busy day today, don't you?
I do have a busy day. Okay, now, everybody, the royal wedding's done. You can keep your fascinators on. But what you need to do, and listen to the show, and then as soon as the show is done, head over to Normandale College.
What's going on there?
The Hennepin County Master Gardeners are doing their annual plant sale. We moved this 1 year because of building over at the Pavilion in Hopkins.
Uh-huh.
So these are plants grown by Master Gardeners. They've pulled them up from their yard. They've divided them. They've cared for them. We've also grown a lot of vegetables, and I believe we had contracted with Glacial Ridge to bring in a lot of natives. So we'll be like tons of Master Gardeners there, really good prices. Master Gardeners to answer any and all of your gardening questions.
That's right, they're in Normandale. 98th, is it?
I think it's somewhere down there, yeah. And then also the Japanese garden is absolutely gorgeous down there, and that's open and free to the public. So take some time to grab your camera.
That's today.
That's all today, yeah. The Japanese garden's open all the time, but it's beautiful. But yes, the plant sale is starting at 9 o'clock. So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And a nice, comfortable day to browse.
This year, it's not a monsoon like it's been a few other years.
Or a million degrees.
So it's really nice. And so go and get some good plants and support the Master Gardeners.
Sounds great. And we will remind our listeners of that very thing, Teresa, before you leave us today.
And you can wear your fascinators or your hats if you still got them.
Sure. It's celebrating.
That's this. Yeah. Just keep the celebration going.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Texter earlier this morning sent a text, Teresa. It says, as far as pre-emergent, is it too late to apply that pre-emergent to our lawns?
You know, if you're up north, it's probably not. If you're down here, it probably is. Most of the crabgrass has probably already sprouted. You may get some weed seeds that haven't sprouted yet, but it is probably getting on the later side of that. So, again, read the instructions on the package. It'll tell you what kind of temperature the soil should be, and then you can go online and find out the soil temps and see that, it's probably just a little too late.
If you want to phone in to Teresa, your lawn and garden question, 651-989-9226. Here's one, Franz. Is it Franz? Franz? Franz. From Apple Valley. Franz, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi there. Thanks for taking my question.
Sure.
Say, over the winter when the snow melted in our backyard, we've got probably a 10 by 20 foot area that looks like it's got big dirt mounds and a very soft ground. It's too big for moles. I'm thinking it's gophers, and I have no idea how to get rid of them.
Ooh, gophers are tough. Gophers are tough. I would suggest going to extension.umn.edu and seeing what you can do to make their life so uncomfortable they want to move.
Mm-hmm.
It may mean playing music outside and being out there an awful lot, and maybe some repellents that have bad fragrances, things like that. The ground-dwelling critters, they're really hard to get rid of because the moles and the gophers and the chippies, they can hide in their burrows and get around us really easy. So they're really hard to get rid of sometimes.
My pest control guy, Mike, friend of mine, said really as far as now, if it's moles, could be moles because moles do that similar thing.
They
too.
Do a lot of digging.
Yeah. In fact, I saw that in my backyard too, where it's never happened before. Some people believe in killing the grubs, their food supply. But Mike says the best way to get rid of moles, it may be ugly, but it's those traps.
Yep. It's the kill traps, it's the little guillotines.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's an option. Double check with gophers and woodchucks. I'm not sure if they're a protected species.
Yeah, that's good to do.
So you just want to double check. Moles aren't a protected species from what I understand.
No.
So you could. And anyway, even if they are, lots of these things, if they are protected, if they're bothering your gardens, you have a legal right to tell them to get out of there.
There you go. Yep. They don't pay rent.
They don't pay rent, no.
651-989-9226. Good luck with that, Franz.
Good luck. Yeah, those are toughers.
If you'd prefer to send Teresa your text message, 81807, here's one. Veggie garden gets lots of shade due to mature trees, and it just jumped off the screen. Suggestions for veggies that are okay with shade or other thoughts?
Yep. What I'd probably do is look for the vegetables that are just, you're growing them for their leaves. Lettuces, spinach, kale, even sometimes you can do beets with just beet greens, things like that. The leaves are able to soak up a little bit more and do a little more photosynthesizing than anything like tomatoes or anything. If you can limb up your trees, that's helpful. And if you can relocate your veggie garden to a sunnier area, that's helpful. Or at least grow your tomatoes in pots somewhere in the sun. And you may want to eventually start turning that vegetable garden maybe into more of a beautiful woodland garden with some dry shade plants. Go to the internet and download a book called The Best Plants for 30 Tough Sites. There's a whole page on dry shade, things like that that'll help you. There's not a vegetable page in there, but there's a lot of good. And that you can get that book for free online. So it's The Best Plants for 30 Tough Sites. We'll give you some ideas about things you can grow in the shade or steep slopes or dealing with deer and all kinds of cool things like that.
But, good deal.
Yeah.
I want to make mention, too, that our friends at Buy the Yard sponsor the show every week. Who's Buy the Yard? Those are those folks down in Jordan, Minnesota, that make the best patio furniture you never have to store. We'll talk about that a little bit later on this hour, but thanks to Buy the Yard. Texter says, I have two crabapple trees next to a big maple, both of them leaning, guessing to get sun.
That's right.
Can they be staked to straighten? Both are about 8 years old.
You could try staking them, but they're just going to keep leaning. The growth will be more on the sunnier side. That's what plants do. They know where the sun is, and they lean toward that. So maybe limb up the maple. Just remove a few limbs on that side to give them a little more sun. You could stake your trees. I mean, they're not going to lean so far that they fall over, but they're probably not going to be straight. Maybe just live with the leaning and enjoy how beautiful they are at that different angle.
If you want to phone in your question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, 651-989-9226. Again, we have a bunch of text messages as well, 81807. We were talking earlier this morning, Teresa, about, well, the forecast. We don't see a lot of chances of rain this
week.
Gotta
start watering.
Gotta
start watering.
And I'm hearing in the news they're using that word drought.
Yes.
Possibly.
Yes. So protect our water. Water properly. Water the soil, not the plants. Water earlier in the morning so the plants can dry off if you do get them wet. Water occasionally and deeply.
Okay. Let's see. Texter says, good morning. This is Bob. My concern is I have six 22-year-old pine trees in my backyard, and we noticed in the last couple of years that there is a lot of branches, many branches dying, turning brown. My yard has a lot of sand. Would like to know what's going on and if there's anyone out there that can look at them and maybe tell me how to treat them.
Yep. So first of all, contact your city office, see if they have a city forester to come out. They'll do that for free. Otherwise, find a local certified arborist, and they can come out and look and diagnose what's going on with your trees. They'll want to look at the needles, see if there's spores on them, and that kind of thing. And they'll look for diseases and insects. But I would do that as quickly as possible. So if you can save them, you can save them.
I like the idea of a certified arborist. We have some really good ones.
We have a lot of good ones. So don't just call any Joe Blow tree company.
Right.
Make sure they have a certified arborist. And usually they'll come out, and often it's a courtesy call, and then hopefully you'll go with them for whatever business you need. But there may be a charge, but you can discuss that with them.
Very good. By the way, some folks think that we can accept or get or receive, I should say, pictures with text. We cannot. We can get the text.
Text.
That's right. Sorry.
That's right. I'm not so good at this tech stuff either.
That's okay. 81807 for your text messages or call us as we head to this quick break. 651-989-9226. It's the Smart Garden Show here on 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO Smart Garden Show. Your lawn and garden questions either by phone or by text. If you're just joining us, good morning. Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, is with us this morning. You and I were talking offline about pictures. We can't pick, accept, receive pictures, receive the text messages in the text, but not the pictures. However,
there is an Ask a Master Gardener online that you can send pictures to.
Uh-huh.
So you can go online and find that and send them pictures, and they'll work their best little magic to get your answers for you. Or bring the picture on your phone or whatever to a farmer's market. Lots of Master Gardeners are there. At most farmers markets, or go to our plant sale and bring your picture. And
that's today at Normandale.
That's today at Normandale.
Very good.
I hope the plant committee's sale committee's happy.
Sure they are.
Yeah, I'm going to send them to Bill when I'm done.
That's good. Do that. Back to the phones we go. Winnie is calling from West St. Paul with a question. Winnie, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Hi, Winnie.
Good morning. At Easter, I was given a pot of flowering bulbs, and they were beautiful. Can I successfully transplant them to my backyard? They were tulips and daffodils and more.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them looked like miniature lilacs.
Okay, so those are hyacinths. Yep, those are hyacinths. You can try. You can go ahead and transplant them right away. What happens is when they have these bulbs in containers, they force them, and that really messes the bulb up. It gets them out of season, and it takes a lot of energy, and they don't have as much chance to come back. But you can always try it, and if they don't come back, then it's just compost in the soil. If they do come back, that may only be leaves. They may eventually die, or they may reflower. So it doesn't hurt to try if you have the room and want to remember that beautiful bouquet.
Mm-hmm. All right, very good. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Winnie. Wayne is calling from New Hope with a question. Good morning, Wayne.
Hi, Wayne.
Good morning. Thank you. I have a question here for you about radishes. I moved my garden recently about, 60, 70 feet from where it was. We planted the radishes now for 2 solid years, and we get the head of the radish proper is long. The root is like 4 or 5 inches long. Yeah,
it's all woody. It doesn't bulb out.
Mm-hmm. No.
There could be some micronutrients missing in the soil, or there could just be a little too high in nitrogen in that soil. So you may want to have your soil tested, and also make sure you're planting your radishes much earlier than maybe you needed to before. Maybe it's a warmer location and it heats up a lot faster than it did before. Radishes like it really cool. And when it turns hot, they'll still grow beautiful leaves, but they just don't root very well. Make sure the soil's really nice and loose for them. So maybe do a little bit of extra digging. Maybe throw some compost in there and plant them a little bit earlier than you have been. And that may help you with that. And back off on the nitrogen.
All right. Very good, Wayne. Thank you. 651-989-9226. I see a line open if you want to use that to ask Teresa your question. Otherwise, send a text, 81807. Here's one. What is the best way to care for New Guinea impatiens in hanging baskets? Is there a way to prevent powdery mildew?
In a hanging basket, you shouldn't be getting a lot of powdery mildew because usually there's a lot of air circulation. But if you can improve the air circulation, make sure you're not getting the leaves of the plants wet and they're not under a downspout or something like that where they're getting dripped on an awful lot. And if you still find that you're getting a lot of powdery mildew on that, you may want to next year start a fungicide earlier on that product on that planter before you see the powdery mildew. Otherwise, if you can just get more air circulation and not get the leaves wet, you stand a better chance with no powdery mildew.
All right. Very good. Let's see. Preparing a garden for a new strawberry bed. Not sure what was there previous years, but last year it went to the weeds. Pulled all the weeds. Should we treat with a weed killer before planting the new strawberry plants?
I would not treat with a weed killer, no, because any weed killer will be a broadleaf weed killer, and strawberries are broadleaves, and you will kill the strawberries too. So don't treat with a weed killer. Just plant your strawberries, maybe mulch very well, and just keep an eye on those weeds. And the more you start tilling that soil, the more weed seeds you're bringing to the surface, so the more weeds you will get in there. So try not to do a lot of extra tilling if you don't have to, but mulching will really help you keep down the weeds.
Good morning. Texter says, we are moving to a townhouse, only allow potted plants. Is it possible to transplant my hydrangea to a planter so I can take it with? It was a special gift.
You can try it. It's going to be hard to winter it over. So keep friends with someone who has a garden. And then in the fall, take that hydrangea and sink the whole pot into their garden, into their bed of garden soil, and then dig it up in the spring. You can try that. You can try bringing the hydrangea in during the winter. I don't know how it's going to survive in our houses. Our houses are so dry and dark, but you can give it a shot. But plants above ground don't do all that well for us during Minnesota winters. The plants freeze and thaw and freeze and thaw. The roots, every freeze and thaw cycle, you get more roots destroyed. So eventually the plant just doesn't come out of dormancy in the fall, in the spring.
If you'd like to send Teresa your text, 81807. Keep in mind, we'll take a break here shortly. We have another half hour of the show to go. So calls, text messages, we have time for yours. What can I do, Texter says, to keep my cut lilacs from drooping?
Make sure that you have a lot of water. You may want to even break the stem a little bit, do fresh cuts, and then give them as much water as possible. They really drink water like crazy. And then the sap in that will seal up. So you may need to make fresh cuts almost every day. And just let them droop. That's part of the gorgeousness of a lilac, the droopy, yeah, Blousy look of it. It's beautiful. Yeah.
All right. I tell you what, let's take a break, Teresa.
Okay.
We have callers. We have texters. We'll get more on the CCO on the way here. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show here on CCO Radio. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is with us. And by the way, this show is sponsored every week by our good friends down in Jordan, Minnesota, that make the best patio furniture in the whole world. It's called By the Yard. Stuff you don't ever have to store. You like that stuff, too.
I love you. Yes.
It really is. Talk about a green company. Yes. They have different colored furniture.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
No.
It's green, but not green.
I got you. 57 is our Twin City temperature reading. If you have a lawn or garden question, bring it in by phone at 651-989-9226 or send Teresa your text. We've got a bunch of those, Teresa, 81807. Nelson is on the phone, though, with a question, I believe. Nelson, what's your question for Teresa?
Hi, Nelson.
Hi, Teresa. Denny, thank you. Mm-hmm. I went to the farm store and got my Shady Mix grass seed and raked up the bare spots and mm-hmm. broadcast it, and it rained. So now what do I do?
Keep it moist.
Yep.
You want to water frequently during the day, maybe two or three times, just to keep that topsoil moist. The moisture breaks the seed. Dormancy breaks that seed coat and wakes those seeds up. So you don't need to water deeply, just a little bit.
Just
a tiny bit, yeah.
Or in the morning.
Just early in the morning. And you may want to do it again in the afternoon if it looks pretty dry out there. Because we don't have a lot of humidity some days. So if it's or if it's windy, that'll dry that soil out, too.
And I was told a 7 to 10 day, period where it germinates or something?
It germinates, yep. So it'll tell you the germination rate on the bag, and it could be 7 days, it could be, 3 days, it could be 21 days, depends on the seed mix.
Okay.
And as soon as it starts germinating, you'll water it a little bit deeply, and then it's just like any brand new little plant, you want to take care of it and make sure that you're giving it water when it needs water.
Yes.
Good luck.
And mm-hmm. then you could mow it.
And then you can feed it and mow it. Make sure you mow it twice before you put down any fertilizer in that area so it's strong enough to withstand the fertilizer and doesn't get burned. So, yep, then you can mow it.
All right, very good. Thanks, Nelson. 651-989-9226. Text 81807. Let me bring you this text, Teresa. Knockout roses, there is such a thing.
There is such a thing. Mm-hmm.
I've had them, Texter says, for 14 years in the north side of my house. I had to replace all three of them 3 years ago. They need to be replaced again this year. My question is related to winterizing. I keep them moist until the freeze, cover them with several inches of mulch leaves. Is there anything else I can do to make sure they survive the winter? Cover them with anything? Is there any special fertilizer mm-hmm. for these roses? And is Miracle-Gro okay?
Miracle-Gro would be fine. That's like a fast food, so it's not gonna feed them very long. The last fertilizer you want to give to your perennials is about August 1st, August 5th, because then they have to go into dormancy, and you don't want them to be thinking about accessing that fertilizer when they should be going into dormancy. So do give them one last feeding of regular granular fertilizer, like once a month, and the last one in August 1st. I'm not sure why you're growing roses on the north side of your house. I'm thinking it might be very bright there, but roses do need full sun. If they're not getting full sun, that means they could be stressed, and that could be why you're losing them. Maybe you have more shade there than you had before. You don't normally have to cover the knockouts. They're really strong. I would protect them from rabbits and deer if you have those issues, put fencing up for them. If you want to, the first year, put some leaves over them. Once the ground starts to freeze, you can do that. Wait till that ground's almost frozen, though, before you put that winter mulch on. So I'm not sure why they're dying. I'd like to know, first of all, why they're dying, whether it's, you know, they're being eaten, whether they're just not enough sun and they're not making it through the winter because they've been stressed, or if you have voles or something that are eating the roots because you might cover them too early. So those are some options to look at. And sure. Also go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, and see if they have any other ideas. And good luck with your roses.
I was telling somebody the other day what a great resource website is.
It's wonderful.
So much
information.
About
Minnesota.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you live in Wisconsin, it's okay too, but,
yeah,
you know.
We allow you to go on the website.
We allow you to go there. But I mean, it's all about plants we grow here, so you don't have to go to the Florida University and try to interpret it. It's about plants that we can grow here in our climate and our temperature.
Good point.
Yeah, so it's wonderful.
Ginger is calling from Springfield with a question. Ginger, you're on with Teresa.
Hi, Ginger.
Hello there. Yeah, we have a kind of a raised garden bed, and we grow vegetables in there.
Okay.
And it's so heavy, so hard, like clay-like.
Yep.
So I don't know if there's something we can do with that.
There is. Compost, and add some more compost. Every year, just add compost, you know, and mix it in really well in the spring. You can even mix in a big batch in the fall. Make sure you're covering the ground in the fall with leaves just as it starts, before we get that first snow or once the ground is frozen. You want to protect that soil structure. And you can pull those leaves off in the spring so it warms up. Add compost. You can even side dress all your plants with compost, and that will help. And make sure you're not stepping on the soil. Try not to walk in your garden bed at all, and that will help with that soil compaction. But with a heavy clay soil, you're going to have to keep adding compost. With a really light sandy soil, you're going to need to add compost. So compost is pretty much the answer.
Okay, very good. Let's see who's next. Then we got to get back to some text messages. Sheila is calling in from Farmington, I believe. Sheila, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Good morning, Sheila.
Good morning. I enjoy listening to you every week.
Thank you.
The reason I'm calling is about 15 years ago, I took a good portion of my backyard and turned it into prairie because I didn't want to have to mow it. And about 3 years ago, I've been dealing with some sciatica and have not been able to do the kind of hand weeding that I was used to doing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the lawn has grown into the prairie, and I'm wondering if there's a way to get rid of that grass.
There is. You could use a grass killer. It will kill your prairie grasses too, but it won't hurt the broadleafed weeds. It will also, if you have lilies or alliums or anything out there, it will hurt them also. So it won't hurt your broadleaf. Otherwise, just digging it out is the best way. You could spot treat it very carefully with this grass killer. It'll say grass be gone or grass killer, and it doesn't hurt your broadleaf weeds. And just carefully maybe take a box or take a coffee can, cut both ends off so you have like a little cylinder or a little square cylinder. That doesn't make sense, but just put that over and then spray inside that box so that box or coffee can will protect the other plants. Let it dry for, you know, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and then move on to the next spot and hit the grass that way. That might be the easiest way to go, and then just spot weed when you have to, and maybe then put a really good border between the prairie and the grasses that you want to keep separate, whether that's a brick or whether that's a good mulch border. So you can see when things are starting to creep over. That might help, too. Good luck.
Right. Very good. Texter says, tulips are so short-lived, or lived, as some people say, and I wonder what to do with the foliage that remains. Is there another plant to pair with them?
Oh, sure. You know, you can plant them depending upon any plant will work. Grasses work, ornamental grasses, daylilies work because they have a similar leaf structure. Any of your perennials will work. If it's in your hosta bed, your hostas will work. They'll cover those leaves. You do need to let the tulip leaves stay there, as you know, so they can keep photosynthesizing. Once they start to brown up and dry, you can cut them off. But you don't want to be braiding them or cutting them off because they're grabbing energy for next year's flowers. But just about any perennial plant you can easily just plant near your tulips, and the beauty of that perennial plant will draw away from the the not-so-beautiful parts of your tulips. And if you can just look at those tulip leaves, maybe they're not the most gorgeous thing in the world, but you know they're getting ready for next year's flowers. So maybe look at them that way.
Good point.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Marilyn is calling from Cottage Grove. Marilyn, you're on with Teresa on CCL.
Hi, Marilyn.
Good morning. I have both Christmas and Easter cactus that look very healthy, but I just recently moved, and where I moved from, it was north-facing, was all the light I got, and neither one of them bloomed.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I've moved again, they have east-facing light.
Mm-hmm.
However, the largest one I have is about 3 feet across.
Oh, my goodness.
It shows it's about 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it that long.
Mm-hmm.
It's bloomed every year. Actually, they compete, and they both bloom at Christmas and Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And it does not show any signs of blooms, flowers,
mm-hmm.
although a small one, I made a baby out of one of them, and it bloomed right after I moved in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, both show new growth,
mm-hmm.
But no flowers.
Yep, you could have just knocked them out of their sequence. They've suddenly got a lot more light. They're going to be fine once they get back into rhythm again, but they weren't stressed. They're going like, "Whoa, this is really nice here. We don't have to be stressed and try to flower." So give them a year to adjust. And they should be fine. If you want to, you can give them a little extra fertilizer as you normally would have after they bloomed or however you were handling them all these years. So get back into that rhythm. Just pretend they bloomed when they should and just keep doing what you're doing and they'll fall back into the rhythm too. They'll get used to that level of light. They'll know that, hey, we can really flower much more beautifully here and we'll give you a good show. And congratulations on those cacti. They're absolutely gorgeous when they're that big and old and
yeah.
that have that history. Nice.
Texter says this, Teresa, my apple tree has lots of blossoms. Do we need to remove some of the future small apples or does the tree drop them on its own?
Yes. The tree, yeah, I love that. Once the apples start getting bigger, I would definitely try to cull some of those apples, especially if it's a smaller tree. It'll help you get bigger fruit and better fruit rather than a whole bunch of little yucky fruit. But understand in June, the apples will also abort some of the fruit on their own. That's called a windfall. And you just pick that up and toss it in the compost bin or feed it to the chickens or whatever you're going to do with it. But you can do both because not all of the windfall is enough to get you a nice big apple. Sometimes you have to help Mother Nature out a bit like that.
All right.
Okay?
No, very good. We have to take just a real quick break, Teresa. We'll come back in just a moment with more. 651-989-9226 or send a text 81807. Good morning. Welcome back to CCO Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, helping you out by phone and by text. And as usual, Teresa, we have a bunch of both.
Excellent.
So let's get to it.
Okay.
George is calling in from Edina, I believe. George, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Hi, George.
Good morning, all. I have two questions. Number one, I sprayed Roundup in my vegetable garden where I grown tomatoes, pepper plants, etc. I'm wondering this year, can I still planting that, or is there an effective last time on Roundup? And secondly, my yard man, when he did my overseeding last year, got a bunch of grass seed into a hosta bed around my maple tree. What is the easiest way to get rid of that grass other than digging it out?
Okay, two options. Well, with Roundup, find the product you used and read the instructions. It's probably going to be okay. There are some that have extended periods, so there's not only one variety of Roundup. They have different formulations, so you're going to have to look at the little bottle or whatever you used on that. For the grass in the hosta bed, you can use a grass begone or grass killer on that. Just read and follow the instructions. It'll only kill the grasses. It won't kill your broadleaf plants, which are your hostas and any other broadleaf plants. If you have any daffodils or tulips are in that area, try not to spray their leaves because they'll be killed also by it.
Okay.
I think.
Very good. Thank you, George.
Thanks.
Larry is calling from Maple Lake with a question. Larry, you're on with Teresa.
Hi, Larry.
Oh, hi there. Yes. What a show. I love it.
Cool.
Anyway, 2 years in the fall of 2016, we bought a hardy rose from a well-known nursery in Minneapolis, and we planted it with appropriate organic material and rose fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
We had beautiful blooms last year. It grew about 4 to 6 inches, and we were snowbirds this winter and came back this spring, and now it's dead, absolutely dead.
Well, it might not be dead. I mean, it may have died to the ground, so just cut off the dead stuff. And give it some time. It may come back from the roots. It may not, but it may come back. Give it a good drink of water. I think this winter was just a little weird because we had that late snow, and that may have messed up some plants. Things are really blooming and growing out of season, and the soil hasn't been thawed out that long. So I would give it some time, carefully cut it back, and just remember that in the next year, if it doesn't come back and you want to plant that same one again, make sure it is hardy for here and that you don't have to cover it. The first year, as that other lady does with her roses, water up until the frost. You want to keep watering until the ground is almost frozen. And one last fertilizer in August for these the granular fertilizer. And also then the first year, treat them as a baby and just cover them a little bit. Cover those root structures a little bit. Protect them from the rabbits if possible, fencing and things like that. And then the next spring, they should be fine. So good luck. I hope it comes back for you.
All right, I think our final caller would be Steve in Buffalo. Steve, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Hi, Steve.
Oh, Steve is not listening. He's listening to the radio.
Oh, no, there's a delay in case, I swear.
I'm going to give him 2 seconds. Steve, are you there, Steve?
Hi, Steve.
Yes, I'm
okay.
Here. I'd like to know how to plant marigolds. I got a bag of seeds.
Oh, good. Just rough up the area and then smooth it out where you're going to plant them. Sprinkle the seeds down, press them into the soil, cover them with maybe about 1/4 inch of soil, and keep it moist, and they'll come up. They sprout very quickly. Just keep that soil moist, just like as with the grass question earlier in the show. Just keep it moist. Once they come up and growing, you can back off on the watering a little bit, but they do need to be watered well, and as they keep growing, they're really nice. So,
Teresa Texter says this, the winter left us with large patches of dead grass in the lawn. Any suggestions?
Yep, reseed. You know, we're getting to the time of the year when it's almost getting sort of hot, too hot to start reseeding, so I'd reseed quickly. And then in the fall, you may want to reseed over again. And just try to figure out, why did those patches die out? Were they bad grass? Are you getting more shade? I would go to the extension.umn.edu website. Look at Sam's and his group's pages on grasses and lawns and things like that. There's a lot of great information. It may give you some insight as to what happened there. Good luck.
We have, Texter says, mature junipers that are brown on the top layer from winter burn. Any way to salvage them with pruning?
Yep, cut off the dead stuff. Dead is dead. It's never coming back. Junipers often have growing points. Once you put light on those growing points, they should fluff out again for you.
Creeping Charlie.
All right.
Help, the Texter says. We have to get a Creeping Charlie award.
We do. I'm Creeping Charlie. So when it's blooming, you can spray it with a broadleaf fertilizer, a weed killer that says for Creeping Charlie. And then in the fall, you'll probably have to reapply that according to the instructions after the first moderate frost. Both of those times, the plant's a little more receptive to grabbing that energy and pulling that poison into the plant itself. So just get the broadleaf weed killer. Also, weeding by hand, you can do that all summer long if you're bored, and it's a very therapeutic thing. Just keep weeding Creeping Charlie. If it does go to bloom, make sure that you can cut those blooms off before they go to seed. And remember, wherever you had Creeping Charlie before, you probably have a big seed bank in the soil, so try not to dig up the soil and wake those seeds up.
We have less than a minute to go. When's a good time to transplant lilacs?
I would do that I would do that in the fall. So you can do a root pruning as soon as the lilacs are done blooming this year. where you're going to cut the plant, or you're going to move it, just put your shovel all the way down, straight down, or ring around the plant. And then in the fall, just do that again and dig up the plant and move it carefully.
Speaking of plants, sale going on in Normandale.
Normandale College, Master Gardener, Hennepin County plant sale, 9 to 1-ish.
9 to 1, so the, yeah, that's the window.
But go fast because it goes quick.
It goes quickly, right. Yes. All right, Teresa, all right. Good to
Thanks,
see you
Denny's
again.
Good to see you.
And we'll have more Smart Garden Show coming up next week here on CC.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.